Hello, listeners. You're welcome to another episode of The Barman's Barbecue. Here we examine sacred cows. We roast them and serve them as it is hot. Okay. Woo. It's been a long time. Yeah.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Oh, Jesus, brother, don't give me work to edit. You know, I'm too lazy. I don't even edit any of this podcast.
You don't have to edit this part out. And then you're happy New Year. We'll have to record the podcast.
So what are we talking about today? I don't know. So talking about laziness, I don't know if you're familiar with the Enneagram. Yeah, Mirabella is a type 7.
Yeah, which means I like new exciting things to be happening in my life.
Yeah, Enneagram type 7, they like enjoyment.
You know?
Yeah, so what's their root sin? I need to read that Enneagram.
It's a sin of... Shabu don't like to die and all those things he used to say.
Yeah, so I'm a type 9. And type 9's root sin is... what's that?
We forgot smartphones.
Smartphones. Yeah, so we are lazy. Type 9's are lazy. And Jesus exhibited a type 9 attributes when he was sleeping in the storm.
But should we be putting ourselves in all these labels? But it's just fun,
yeah. Yeah, I guess. So the wisdom of the Enneagram, is Richard Rohr calls it like a descending of spirits. It helps you to basically see through your bullshit, right? To deal with your trash, and so that redemption and salvation may occur.
Oh, ours is you need to avoid pain.
Okay.
I just think it's good to know yourself so that you can know your strength and how to use it to your advantage, basically. Whether it's Enneagram, temperament,
Don't
get too stuck up on it.
Yeah, don't get too stuck up on it. Yeah. Anyway, so talking about today I'd like to talk about this arc, right? So like a part of my deconstruction journey where initially we got to the point where, you know, we heard the message of grace. And by virtue of this message of grace, you know, we started laughing at or mercy mocking at people who, like for me though, I'll be like, how can you say I should kill the flesh, right? So that Jesus has already have been crucified together with Christ, so there is no point killing the flesh. So I've now like gotten back to the point where I'm like, oh, it's okay, it makes sense, right? So I think
so
I just
went full circle.
I went full circle, and yeah. Yeah, so I just like to unpack that, you know, how like I know many people who have deconstructed still like don't like to hear the idea of death to self or dying, anything that Jesus died for you. So
like
you have
me,
to die.
Whether it was law and grace, anything death is not in my vocabulary, guys. Like, no! Except they said sweet for sugar and that. That's what I use for when I want new things. So I'm like, except this one for sugar and that. No, not no.
Yeah.
So explain to us, please.
Yeah. So what? So my let's say the change in my theology of death, right? It's like a lot of things led up to the point where I am right now. But one of the clearest theologians that explained or unpacked this concept to me, and it's Father John Baer. So I encountered John Baer through the Open Table Conference that Paul Young and co. always talk about Father John Baer. And then he talked about, so in a session, last conference, he talked about death and becoming human. You know, so there it goes on, like it's really, like initially so boring, talking about one blandina, you know, the virgin mother. I'm like, oh, where are you headed to with all this? Like, so he's one of the leading scholars in church history.
Mm.
So he talks about how, so to many of the masters, so you know those times when I was always talking about immortality, not dying and all those really cool stuff. Yeah, and the question that many of my friends usually ask is, but what about the martyrs? How come they died? You know, so, and you know, so with the teachings of John Baer, so it was not like, so you see, many of the martyrs actually looked forward to death. That is to say, imagine a martyr not dying, right? He's now feeling miscarried. Seriously. So death was now a path for them to be fully human. So
you have lost me.
Okay, any Mataya that didn't die, right, by
it's not a Mataya. No.
Yeah, so anyone so anyone who any Christian who did not die as a Mataya is seen as one who was miscarried, who was not fully born.
Back then.
Yeah.
But is that it should be that way?
Yeah, so yeah.
I really like much to live for my faith than to die for it.
Kind of like the change. So listening to John Bear and explaining death and becoming human is that now this is it. Jesus, so that this like the bombs 2021. Jesus did not.
2021 second quarter. Yeah, second half. Right?
Jesus did not die so that you don't have to die. Rather, Jesus died so that you may die. Ta-da!
No. See, I said this thing, my head just said, what is death? May never die. That's the only thing my head just said, because I don't understand. Right. Explain.
Okay, so, like, so I'll say it again, that, you know, many times we think that, like, and I feel like this is what is holding Nigeria back. I mean, it's a huge statement to say, but, yeah, deal with it. It's popular. So, the prosperity gospel, right, is that maybe Jesus died so that you have XYZ.
Yeah.
Jesus died so that you can have money. Jesus died.
Life.
Yeah. Jesus died so that bad things will not happen to you. Jesus died so that you will not die. But actually, the truth is that Jesus died to show you the truth or to reveal the truth of God and at the same time the truth of you.
So are you saying, explain this? Are you saying we should now all go and die or what?
So I'm saying that we should not be afraid of death. I mean, that's what the writer of Hebrews said about, you know, to free all those who were all of their lives in bondage. So there's a fear of death. So many times our craving for not dying is not because of we are free from the fear of death. It's because of we are actually scared.
But why should we crave to die? We'll die, but can we just live longer and enjoy life? Why are we talking about death?
Okay, so like, what's his name? Remember the song? I'm about to reference in Justin Bieber's new album.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King's interlude.
Okay.
Yeah, he was like, if there's a cause that you had an opportunity to die for something and you are not willing to die because of you want to live, and you go on to live up till 90. He said that you died since like at 38. That your death at 90 or 120 is a belated announcement of an earlier death of the spirit. You died when you refused to stand up for justice. You died when you refused to stand up for what's right. Yeah. So.
So back again, what kind of death are we referring to here?
Okay. So let me answer it this way. Back to Jesus, right? So Jesus is the revelation of God. Right, when God said, let's make man in our image and our likeness, right? So the image of God and the likeness of God is Jesus Christ. And the clear revelation of Jesus as the image of God is not just as the one who walks on water or the rabbi, the good teacher, but is the one who died on the cross. So the true revelation of God is the one who dies. So to be divine is to partake of the divine nature is to live a life after the one who dies for others. So your unwillingness to die for others is you not want you passing up the opportunity to be a human being or to be divine.
What does it mean to die for others?
Simple, like give somebody pepper soup to eat in the morning.
But why is it now categorized as death?
No, but that is not just not death per se. Now, okay, I guess that's the problem. It's you giving yourself, right? Giving what is yours of your being, of your essence, so that another person might enjoy life.
Okay.
Right, and sometimes, and Jesus said, "A greater love hath no man than this, that for a man to lay down his life for his friend."
Other-centered.
Yes, exactly. So love is other-centered, self-giving, radically forgiving and co-suffering. So it's a life.
Okay, no, so, no, take it.
So love is other-centered, self-giving, radically forgiving, and co-suffering.
Oh,
right.
Where did you hear this?
Brad Rezek, a more Christ-like God.
Oh.
Right. So as long as we are committed to living another centered life, right, that is, and which living a life such that if it means to give the ultimate sacrifice, which is our own final breath, we say no problem, right? So we are no longer holding on to what we think is precious to us. Yeah. So for me, that's okay. Let's look at it from Paul's perspective. So Paul had this prophecy that the bearer of this belt is going to be bound, and is going to blah blah blah. There was a prophecy about Paul's life, and Paul was like, he was willing to even go and die, but he must appear before Caesar. I don't even understand. So many of us will see that there is danger in front of us, so it's an excuse not to. In fact, God is showing us this danger so that we will not go and die. Right. That's what we will.
Well, what if we? So now here's my real question. Yeah. So what's the thin line between this and self-neglect?
Self-neglect. Okay. I think the thin line is Paul Young once said that love. We are not calling. This is not a call to be selfish. Neither is it a call to be selfless.
Yeah.
But it's a call to be self-giving.
Okay.
Right, so in selflessness, you don't have a core, a substance. You are not complete. You are not whole, right? So you are doing things to be, but this place is from a place that you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principalities and power. You are already abundant, already full. You are that fountain of living water that never runs dry. So you may give your life for others, knowing that you know the finish. So this is not necessarily selfless. Is that I am this fountain, so I don't mind. I can still give of my essence and my being, so that others may live who do not know that they are also a reservoir, a spring within them that is inexhaustible. But so the fear of death comes when we do not realize, when we have this scarcity mindset or this finite mindset that, oh, I could die, I'm going to lose something. If I give this money, what am I going to eat tomorrow? If I die now, what is going to happen after that? But if we are in tune with the God who loves us, who Jesus trusted the Father to raise him up from the dead, right? So he knew that, I'm giving myself over to the Jews to do as they like. Let them kill me. But I trust the Father will intervene and He will raise me. So for me, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus frees us from the fear of death. Now, when we are faced with life and death situations, we will not a kidnapper has threatened me, or let's say a government official has threatened me that if I don't do this, I'm going to lose my job. I can lose the job. I have resurrection power. I have resurrection power. I'm going to rise again. Yeah, but I'm just trying to say, I think I was saying in a group somewhere that, so the death of Jesus on the cross was the revelation of who God is and what God always does. God is the one who always gives himself so that the world may exist. That is how he's the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. That God gives himself for the creation and sustenance of the world. And we are now called to do likewise, to give ourselves for the creation and sustenance of worlds. Right? So becoming fully human is to become Christ-like. And the full path, the full arc of the Christos, or of the Christ life, is the one who gives himself so that others may live. But when we chicken out, we run out because we are scared. This does not mean we are loved. It's just that we are not aware. We have not come to the truth or the reality of who we are, that we are indestructible. So once they say that he has brought life, he has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So once we have this revelation of immortality dawning on us, we are not afraid to let go of finite things.
You know what I'm trying to say? Is the fear of death also the reason why sometimes you can't let go? God is let go.
Yeah, exactly.
Holding on so hard.
Yeah, so holding on to ideas, obsolete traditions, it's all. In fact, I remember listening to Ian Clayton saying that the reason why people die is because they are stuck in the past. So the timeline, and I think someone said how Mario is one of the best games ever made because of in Mario, the screen is always moving. So if you stay stuck, you'll die in the game. You just have to keep moving. right? And so revelation of God is kind of like, again, like I said before, it's progressive.
Mm-hmm.
So if we stop learning, we die, basically. So whatever industrial revolution, the age of the sovereign individual, I've heard of that, I like that concept, the age of the sovereign individual.
What is that? Is it where we are going?
That's where we are going to, like, you know, where, like, so that we have sovereign nations.
Yeah.
But in the future, perhaps we'll have sovereign individuals.
But people make it like that's a bad thing, because we are supposed to exist as communities.
Yeah, but I mean,
That's
another
whole...
I mean, but would this community help now? A community that, like...
No one done properly, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, but who this community called Nigeria, who is it helping?
Well, we're not even a community, we're more of sovereign
individuals. You get to, like Nigeria, we're actually close to the sovereign individual concept. Like, we have our electricity, everything. So, but, so the place of, like...
But then to be... Self-giving in this way, you have to know who you are. So
yeah, exactly. So the rise of the sovereign individual, like, so I have authority over my time.
I mean, like, to be self-giving, not sovereign individual right now. To be self-giving in this way, you have to be aware of your capacities. It boils down to going back to knowing who you are now.
See? Yeah, exactly. So to, again, to remember that you are loved, you are sufficient, you are powerful. And that power does not mean that other people will die while I live.
Because sometimes you want to give, but you don't think that you have.
Yeah.
Enough to do.
Yeah, exactly. Or you don't think you are it.
Yes.
Imposter syndrome, as they call it.
Of the variant. Yeah.
So I think that really keeps us from really doing a lot of amazing things we would have done because of we are scared of death.
Mm.
But yeah, I feel like if we really contemplate the cross and, like I said, see the death of Jesus not as an excuse not to die, but as an example of us, as the ones who die and God raises from the dead.
Every time, yeah.
Yeah, so like I feel like the passion precedes the resurrection, right? The passion precedes resurrection. So if there is no passion of the Christ, there's no resurrection of the Christ.
Passion of the Christ.
So if you're not willing to die, right? Like you said, if the grain of wheat does not fall down and die, it abides alone.
That would...
Yeah, so but again, it's just that. And so for many people, for many of us, like we die 1,000 deaths, like, you know, again and again, when we look...
But is it possible that even if we do not want to die, we actually end up dying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so sometimes, right? So sometimes situations and circumstances will come and kill us.
And if you don't honor to the way you want to shape the narrative of your death, then it's just the one kind of businesses. Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm. Come again, maybe you help me.
Like if you're intentional about the death, saying, yes, okay, I'll die. If you have more
control over your sacrifice instead of you.
Yes, and the narrative behind it, instead of you just... It's like two people going through something and both of them coming out in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Someone can come out better for you, the other person can come out really messed up and all.
Yeah, I think so. That your free will or your willful participation, right? So like in the case of Jesus willingly, right? Yeah. He knew that these guys were crazy and they would kill him. It was like, nonetheless, because of I love them so much, I will still let them have their way.
Mm.
Right.
And he did it when he wanted.
So he had he had a lot of opportunities to die before he actually died.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So boy was like, no. So again, it's back to the beginning of the spirit.
Mm.
Right. So we see that now this is
back to the beginning.
Yeah. So this is the this is not a call to be suicidal.
No.
So just like, you know, carry that bomb and die for...
No.
No, that's not what you're saying.
So, can I also say, this is also like Samson when he chose to die.
Yeah, you can say that, yeah.
Very wedgy, we're just in time of mind, like, yeah.
Yeah, so Samson, exactly. So, or let's see...
Moses.
Daniel,
yes.
Moses forgoing the riches of Egypt,
yes,
right, for a season and to be identified with the Israelites, so it's kind of like a form of death.
Form
and
of
in
death.
That decision to let go of political power, for
and luxuries of the world,
and for to identify with the masses,
yes,
right, we are, so basically, we now partake of the divine nature. So this is not a call to poverty, This is not a call to just be. No, this is a call to that you are full, you are rich, you are abundant, you have chosen to sit in the throne of God. But where is the throne of God? In the midst of the oppressed. That's where God has decided.
I like the narrative where this thing is going to. Yes, I like where this. You know why I like
it. Right. So it's not that. So God does not because of like the popular paradigm of God is like I said. Like if you've not listened to God, Jesus versus Thanos, is that God is like Thanos, like omnipotence. He has all power. He's his power to do whatever he wants.
Either with him or
So but we see that the God is like Jesus. And why was he given a name which is above every other name? It's because of he emptied himself. He did not seek to be called the Son of God. You know, then the emperor, the Caesar, would like to be called the sons of God. Right? But Jesus did not look, he didn't crave for the identity Son of God. Rather, he chose to empty himself of any repute, to be identified with man, even up to death, even the death by the cross. And therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him a name above every other name. So even us too. I'm just saying, so this, by means of summary, is to say that becoming human, right, is becoming Christ-like. And what is the Christ life like? Is the one who gives himself so that others may live. And you see, our parents, they constantly gave themselves so that we would have life.
Yeah.
They had an opportunity to abort us. They could.
But they didn't have the opportunity.
But they didn't. Or they had the opportunity not to...
To be intentional with
their parenting. But for many parents, they did. For me... Like so for and this is just like a nod to everyone who has lost a loved one, a parent, you know. I was trying to encourage a friend that don't see when your parents died, don't see that they died that day. They started dying the day, like from every decision they made, right, towards giving you a good life that they gave themselves for you. I mean, it's just changing the narrative that that's the constantly gave themselves so that you may live, and be grateful for the opportunity they had and how they showed you what it means to be a human being.
More like be grateful for the sacrifice, their sacrifices.
Yeah, their willful choice.
Their willful choice
to be intentional about you, right? So they practice the cruciform life. They constantly gave themselves so that you may live, and so also God also has given them a name above every other name.
So you're right, this podcast is about us practicing the cruciform life.
Yeah.
The self-giving.
Yeah. Other-centered, self-giving, radically forgiving, and co-suffering or compassionate. All right, so that's a wrap for today.
All right, guys. I like
God bless you.
All right, bye.
All right, I hope you enjoyed today's barbecue. For your questions, send a DM on Instagram or Twitter at Dubams @DUBAMS. See you next time. Bye now.